following is a presentation of the Match Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. The World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO and, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall. And welcome back to another episode of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast, episode 41. Jason Bryant with you. John McGovern, head coach, University of Dubuque, will be joining us. It's the first time he's been on the show in a while as he's been going through the college season. World champion Dennis Hall joining us as well. And we have a special guest today. He is the head coach at the University of Guelph. And I believe I've been saying that right since I had Corey Jarvis on the Short Time Wrestling Podcast. He's a two-time Olympian. From our neighbors up north, Canada, Coach Doug Cox on the program. First of all, Coach Cox, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Nice to have you.
And Coach McGovern, welcome back after a season of Division III wrestling in your place.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Great to be back.
And Dennis, just a year of high school and youth wrestling and a grizzled voice as always.
Exactly. Sounds good.
So we got a couple topics to discuss here on the show. We'll start with an interesting exchange that Coach McGovern, you have with Coach Cox's team at the University of Guelph. They are the Griffins. Griffins, yes. And it's not spelled with the I. It's spelled with a Y and a P-H. So, Coach McGovern, let's just talk about how the University of Dubuque entered in this type of friendly exchange with our friends in Ontario.
Well, yeah, as a college coach, we're allowed by NCAA rules one international trip every 4 years. So we were looking to take an international trip. And with my college wrestlers, I noticed when we go on trips, whether it was even Nebraska, we added Nebraska Wrestling to our conference. Our guys are on the bus running. They had been out of state and they thought it was a big deal. And then we've been to Florida and guys were traveling. I thought, wow, this would be a good culture experience. In addition, our guys get to train, you know, freestyle and Greco. They get to be coached. And then we get to go up there May 11th and 19th and train and compete with Doug and his guys, and he's a two-time Olympian, and it should be a great wrestling training opportunity as well as a culture experience for our guys.
Doug, what's it going to be like to bring in a group of Yanks that know this folk style stuff into your room?
Well, I actually think it'll be pretty interesting. We've actually just built a new wrestling room, so we're kind of excited to show it off a little bit to the guys. And what we'll do, we'll invite some of the other area clubs to bring in the kids with the matching weight classes. So, you know, try to make it as good for John and his team as possible and, you know, make it a nice exchange too. You know, Guelph's kind of a historic place, so they can do some sightseeing and stuff like that and get to know each other.
And Coach, with your team, and for those who are unfamiliar with how the Canadian wrestling system works and the university system, they don't really use the word college as much, but university system, is it's all freestyle. A lot of the programs, men's and women's, I think if you've got to have a men's program, you got to have a women's program up there. While it's not officially a Title IX thing, there is a gender equity issue up there. But it's all freestyle and in the university system. But you've got probably some wrestlers that know a little bit about this folk style stuff.
Oh, yeah. Originally, my coach is actually Londo Iacovelli. He was an NC2A guy from Ithaca, New York. So we've always kind of, kept our hand in a little bit. We'd actually like to do it a little bit more. I think it can really improve scrambling for freestyle wrestlers. And, you know, any competition is good competition, right? So you're still getting the nerves and getting it out there.
And Coach McGovern, from a Division III aspect where – I'd say a large majority of your roster may have some freestyle and Greco-Roman experience, but it's not something that they're looking fully to pursue.
en masse after they graduate. And what's it like to give them a look at the international styles of wrestling?
Well, it's a great way to cross train, and this is helps keep our guys motivated, you know, because they got a competition coming up in May to train freestyle and Greco, so they're getting in the room more. And, you know, after this trip in May, now I've got guys even thinking about continuing and going to the June 1st to the 2nd University Nationals and doing some freestyle Greco there. So some of these guys have wrestled Greco in freestyle, you know, at the Junior Nationals. And but this just keeps them motivated for, you know, competitions and doing things moving forward to keep them consistent.
Switching it up, we'll go to Dennis Hall. Dennis, we haven't spoken to you in a couple months here on the program. What was this wrestling season like for you?
It was a good season. High school kids did pretty well, wrestling at their state tournaments. Had a chance for a couple champs. You know, then we went to the youth state just last week, or I think, yeah, a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I don't even remember. It's all rolling together right now. But had a real successful youth state tournament. Kids had a lot of fun, and now we're off to freestyle and Greco right now. So this is where there's not much pressure. We're just trying to learn two new sports and get the kids as tough as we can get them within a month time frame.
Yeah, and as we're getting to those time frames for the college guys here in the United States, I'd say the girls have already wrestled their universities, and they're getting ready for the world team trials in Vegas at the end of the month, along with Greco. The men's freestyle have their world team trials later in the year in Lincoln, Nebraska. So, you know, it's that timetable. It crunches it. And Coach Cox, well, let's just go with what the Canadian system is like, because there doesn't seem to be a significant break, because the style is the same for the most part, with the exception of the guys who choose Greco. But let's just give us a quick overview on how, you know, athletes going from the what used to be the CIS, now it's the U Sport, I believe is the terminology, their version, your version of the NCAA, and how the timelines work from going from the collegiate season to the, for lack of a better term, the senior international season.
Yeah, we have, like, we almost are probably, you know, like you guys now, we don't really have that many seasons. They just, one sort of blends into everything. We start up in September, and then we have our university season, which is over about middle of March. And then we actually have our open tournaments. So that's open junior and senior national championships at the end of March. And then if you have any kids on teams, like, say, for instance, early May, our heavyweight's going down to the Pan Am. So, you know, you have to keep people training for that, for the senior Pan Am, junior Pan Ams, and then almost the summer season starts, right? Like the international tournaments. We host the Canada Cup July 8th, and we have countries come up to that. So it's almost now like, if you have good kids on your team, they're not – you really have to be careful planning their year, or they're not getting much of a break. So, and because we're freestyle, you know, right through, we just basically start September. And if you got people on the world team, they're finishing up the middle of August at the world championships. So,
yeah, I've had the opportunity to go up to Canada. I checked out the Olympic trials back in December of what would be 15 for the 16 for the Rio Games. And I learned a lot up there about how the club system works. But for those who may not have heard those interviews on the Short Time Wrestling podcast, there is a synergy between the wrestling clubs and the universities in which these wrestling clubs are housed out of. Can you explain how that works and what it means for Wrestling Canada or Wrestling Canada Loot and the universities that participate with those clubs?
Well, most of I would say, like, the top 10 clubs in Canada are, you know, they're out of universities, and they're basically, you'll have your varsity team because again, everything's freestyle. Your varsity team will be training with your club guys through the year. And it's almost a must have. We don't honestly have the numbers that you guys do down there, especially in the NC2A program. So we need that to keep improving our athletes, and it's what makes us much more competitive with each other, I think, too, because most of the tournaments we go through the year, half of them will be closed just for university students, and the other half will be university students and open. So it's you know, they're getting pretty high level competition.
One thing we haven't discussed yet is your actual background, and you've got a unique situation where you wrestled back and forth both styles, freestyle and Greco, pretty consistently. And not to say Canada doesn't have a Greco program, it exists, but it's not. I wouldn't say it's super active. You know, let's just explain, you know, why you participated in both styles and what you like about each particular style.
Well, I think I just like throwing in freestyle, so I kind of incorporated throwing into freestyle. I love Greco. I think it's a great sport. It's sometimes I've actually thought about it. I wondered if young kids starting out, almost if they start out with Greco for a year or two, and then go to freestyle, if it might improve their freestyle wrestling. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but. Over the years, we've had different points for scoring. And sometimes, if you knew how to throw, it definitely comes in handy. And even if you don't know how to throw, but you can defend it, that's big, right? So I think for myself, I loved Greco. We just didn't have the opportunity to do it enough, or I might have just stayed with it. In order to get enough wrestling, which we all kind of like doing, I had to do both. So.
You represented Canada on two Olympic teams, but you had three Olympic experiences. Talk about Seoul in 1988 in both styles.
Seoul was, it was a good experience. It's honestly something I wouldn't do. I wouldn't advise people doing it again, though, because I made the freestyle team and the Greco team. And I think it was too much, trying to excel at both. I think you can do it, in the regular seasons, but when you're looking to target a major event, you need to 6 months before, you need to take either the freestyle route or the Greco route, just to be competitive.
You know, a lot of things were brought up when Dennis made his comeback and made the Olympic team in 2004 about his age. Well, you made an Olympic team in 96 at 38. What was it like to be an elite level competitor at that age?
Well, I think, I think it's great. Like, I was lucky enough that I went through my wrestling career with no real major injuries, which I think could have prevented that. I don't think there's an age limit to people enjoying wrestling and being competitive. I just love the sport so much, I just kept doing it. So.
Dennis, you've made comeback after comeback after comeback, even after 2004, and a lot of it's based on your level of fitness. And what is there to Doug's point about just being able to enjoy it and be competitive at an upper age bracket, so to speak? We've got to click that 37 plus age bracket now. I don't think any of us like doing that.
Yeah, no, I think for me it is if I'm in the room working out and feeling good, and why not compete? Competing is fun. I think a lot of times people just put a age limit on competitors. And you know what? Once you compete, it's hard to get that out of the system. And, I don't think there should be any type of restrictions on a competition, the age of competitors. To me, if guys want to do it, let them do it. It's, it gives it gives everybody something to work for. And that's a great part about competition is you go out there and you have fun.
Want to keep talking about competition as we get to our full international calendar discussion. Now, first I want to start with Coach McGovern here. Because we're looking at United World Wrestling adding weights for the World Championships, and we're seeing this add more opportunities for fans to see the wrestlers they want to see compete. Now, Coach McGovern, the angle here for you is looking at this from a spectator standpoint, be like, man, okay, we're going to have more weight classes. What does this mean for you as a wrestling fan to be like, all right, we can put our best guys on the team and not just have to, okay, now we've got six. We can have more than that.
Well, yeah, it's definitely great. You get more opportunities for wrestlers, and then obviously more stories to share, like different personalities that become the heroes for the next generation. And, going back to the age thing too, Dave Schultz was pretty old when he was competing, and Melvin Douglas and some of those guys. I remember talking to Metcalf when he was about ready to retire, and I said, you know, gosh, the more you compete, the more it helps USA Wrestling. And, you know, he'll be coaching, and I was thinking about that the other day. He's probably still wrestling and training in a room. So at any age, it's great. And, yeah, adding more weights would definitely, I think, be great for the sport.
Dennis, your take on how this will impact Greco in this country?
You know, hey, the hard part is is guys are going to have to make a decision. The 10 weights, I love it, you know, because it gives guys opportunities that aren't at a perfect weight class, but they're still competitive internationally. And, you know, I think having the 10 weight classes is going to make more competition in the future to make the Olympic teams, and it's going to be tougher to make Olympic teams because you got more guys training full time to try and earn that spot for a world championship.
Coach Cox, how does this impact Canada, especially with you've got a program with both men and women involved with these weight classes?
Well, I would agree with the other coaches. I think it's just we're going to have more people get to go to the world championships. And then when we do come down to the crunch, if it's going to be 6 weight classes for the Olympic Games, it's just going to be a much more competitive situation there within your own country just to make the team. And then once you get to the Olympics, it's going to be just an amazing level that it's at. You know, it'd be nice to see them, you know, come up with another weight class or two at the Olympics. I think that would be a little better, but I doubt we're going to be able to get that. It'd be nice to kind of come up with a system in the UWW that's kind of stays the same for a little while, though. If they decide to go to 10 weight classes, that we stay at 10 weight classes for a bit and maybe don't change the rules for a bit. Like, us people up here in Canada, we always look at you guys' NC2A program. I always look at that with a bit of envy. You know, you can have a gentleman sitting in the stands who's 80 years old, basically, and go in and follow that competition and know what the score is and follow the rules. Well, you know, if you were 80 years old and went to a freestyle tournament, now you'd go, what the heck is the score going on? So we are a little envious of that.
Well, I will say there are some rule changes every year with the NCAA that do confuse our fans down here. But one thing that I'm curious about from a Canadian standpoint is the depth. With more weight classes, you know, you guys aren't necessarily 10 deep in some weights like the United States is known to be. Where do you see this as a benefit to maybe helping Canada get more medals in those weights where you've got 2 or 3 strong athletes and like they just needed that opportunity to have a chance? Like let's use the women for an example. Like Dory Yates gets hurt one year. She can't compete at the world championship. Stacey Inaka comes in and finishes second in the world. So there is depth, especially on the women's side, but those opportunities now exist. And how do you think that's going to impact Canada?
Well, I think on the men's side, especially, it's going to help our development. I think we're going to get some younger men kind of fill in some of those voids, those other weight classes, and hopefully that'll bring wrestling along a little bit, right? So in Canada, we definitely are not, on the men's side, we're not deep enough right now. But, you know, going to the 10 weight classes, it might get some up-and-comers, you know, to get to a world championship. So I think you have to get there and see the big dance to be able to improve. And kids need international competition to become better at international competition. So I don't see a downside to it for us as a country. And I think it'll help the development of our wrestling.
Dennis, from a Greco-Roman standpoint, now we're looking at more weight classes. And you look at programs like Northern Michigan and what Kerry Regner's starting down at Williams Baptist. It's like, okay, we could have potentially a lot of kids, but we've only got a set number of weight classes. What this could potentially do, at least in my estimation, is we're looking at, okay, there's more weights and these tournaments that aren't just the worlds, the Swedish tournaments, the Hungarian Grand Prix, all these big international tournaments are going to have more weight classes. So you're going to go overseas and you're not necessarily going to see your teammate in the first round or wrestle go all the way across the country and see the same guy you wrestle with every day in the room. What opportunities do you think this presents for American wrestlers who want to focus on Greco-Roman to say, all right, there are now more opportunities for me to train versus trying to bunch into 6 weight classes?
I think it definitely gives more opportunities to athletes. The problem is we got to convince guys that that's the route to take, you know, and it's not an easy time to convince athletes to possibly forego college or wrestle in college. I'm not against the college system in the United States. But what I'm against is the kids not, taking charge of their own careers. I think a lot of them, go into freestyle during the spring because the coaches expect them to. And I get that the coaches, it's a double-edged sword for Greco. And that's just a tough part about coaching Greco is it's hard to get kids to try and wrestle at that level because they feel like they're behind or maybe the college coaches don't really want them to wrestle it, So I don't know if it's going to impact more guys trying it per se, but I think it definitely does give more opportunities to become successful and hopefully to buy into Russ and Greco at the international level.
Now, Coach Cox, you had an athlete who, like yourself, was going both styles to try to make sure that they could make the Olympic team. Corey Jarvis, who was has been on the Short Time Wrestling podcast, a great story. Guy's a welder and, giant beard, made the Olympic team in freestyle and, had to go with Greco in freestyle and ultimately, qualified in freestyle. That's where he's going to go. The Greco program in Canada, how would you describe it right now? And what do you think that needs to be done to maybe energize that style in Canada?
We're pretty weak in Greco right now. I think maybe, 10, 20 years ago, we were a little bit stronger, just had more people doing it. It's just a numbers thing, right? And training partners and stuff like that. So, for us to, get much better in Greco, we'd almost have to go to a couple of centers that train it where kids would go there for, a couple of months or a few months to just improve with a Greco coach. We do have, Doug Yates in Montreal. I think he has a couple of kids that are just doing Greco. It just comes down to numbers and the availability to train. So if you don't, if you're not doing Greco at your club, then even though you're really good at throwing and lifting, you're probably going to have to stick with freestyle because you're just not going to be able to train well enough. Unless some of our better people I know have gone down to the States, especially at the, Steve had the, Colorado Springs there, some of the good Greco guys would go down there, a few weeks at a time and train. So it's just a matter of not being able to train it enough to compete at it.
So what's been the struggle to get Canadian athletes, men, because it's not yet a women's style, but to say, hey, you should try Greco? Is it just because there isn't that much to work with in front of a training situation? Or is it just like, all right, we got to go freestyle. That's where everybody's at.
Well, I don't think I would say right now at our, at our, say, 10 training centers or whatever we have, the major training centers, we don't really have any Greco coaches other than maybe ourselves. So, to get people to buy into that is not easy. And it's a fight for athletes lots of times, right? Like, Coach was saying there, sometimes their Greco guys will have to or freestyle guys will have to try Greco just for the competition. So we just don't have the numbers that you guys, and we don't have the depth that you guys have. So for us, if you want to train Greco, you really have to be willing to, go places and leave the country. And that comes down to finances too, right?
So I want to talk about how the synergy is between the wrestling club and the university system. I know out at Simon Fraser, Mike Jones, I believe is retiring at the end of this season if he hasn't already done so. And, Dave McKay has been out there with the Burnaby Mountain Wrestling Club. And, they're not, Coach McKay isn't employed by the school, but it's the wrestling club. And then there's that. How much do you think the American system could benefit from something similar to what you guys do in Canada?
Well, I would say I think there's a pro and a con to both. I think it's there is some benefits to it, working the two together. It's just that if the universities buy in and they're employing the coaches at the time, they're funding the program. I mean, a lot of this, quite frankly, all comes down to funding, right? We'll have good athletes who we know could be good at international competitors in freestyle or Greco, but it's getting them to the training centers. It's getting them to the competitions that, for us, especially in Canada, is, you know, it's a dollars and cents thing, right? So, you know, I know myself, like, you know, you know, every year you'll get a couple of really good people come on the team, and you know that they need that, you know, they need that next level of competition. You know, it really comes down to dollars and cents and being able to get to places to train that they need. Putting the two programs together, I think, would really have a pro for you guys because, you know, in maybe the university would employ the coach, you know, in the university season, and then you have a club employment, you know, in the off season. I'm not sure, but there's a pro and a con to both. So,
and Coach McGovern, having had the experience of at wrestling with the Hawkeye Club, post your collegiate career, what are some things that you think that the Canadian system could benefit, especially maybe at the Division II, Division III, the non-Division I levels?
Well, I suppose for the you get just the masses of guys that get to compete and get attention. So, you know, we got 100 Division III programs plus and growing. So it allows more post-high school opportunities for guys that wouldn't normally compete. And then some of those guys might matriculate and develop in college and go on like a Kerry Bowman's and be, you know, pretty high level match, right, with Terry Brands, right, in the finals, even though he's kind of coming out of nowhere from Division II. So more guys can continue their wrestling careers longer and stay in the game. You never know how far they'll get.
Dennis, the closest thing we've got to what the Canadian system is like is what Kerry Regner is starting at Williams Baptist, where there's a folk style, there's a collegiate team, and then there's a Greco team. How much do you think that, you know, guys like you and Matt Lindland are going to be paying attention to what's going on down there and be like, okay, is this guinea pig going to be big enough to grow that we can, you know, we can have this type of model similar to the Canadians, but something with an American spin on it down here in the States?
No, I think it's a great thing what Kerry's doing. I mean, there's a lot of time and energy putting in to growing that program. I just talked with Lindland a little bit yesterday, and he said, I think Kerry's got 10 guys committed so far for next year for the Greco program. I mean, that's 10 guys that are going to be focusing primarily on Greco, and that's what we need. We need, you know, 50 of those throughout the country to make our depth better. You know, I love what they're doing. It's tough because it all comes down to getting kids to be willing to pay for college instead of accepting possible scholarships. And, you know, the truth is at the Division I level, you know, nobody's really getting a full ride unless you're a super stud. So a lot of the guys go Division I with the intention of earning a spot, but, you know, they pay the majority of their schooling, you know, and it's just convincing and sorting kids out and trying to get them to buy into the Greco mentality and the mindset that you need to train it full time. Can't be part time, you know, and we'll take part timers for right now until we get the culture built.
I want to shift gears a little bit and go back to the United World Wrestling angle in terms of not just the weight classes, but there's been chatter that they're going to introduce the 2-day tournament model and multiple weigh-ins, it looks like. And this is something the American fan is used to, basically, because that's how we run our tournaments, basically, whether it be freestyle, Greco, or folk style. It's like, all right, well, we're not going to run a tournament in a day if you got to have more than 5 matches. Coach Cox, from a Canadian perspective, the multiple-day weigh-in situation, how is that going to impact the athletes and what you guys are used to up there when you get to the when you get past these test events as they see how it works?
I think it'll be good. I kind of, like you guys down there, I grew up with the morning weigh-ins and then the competition a couple hours later. I think the one thing it'll really have an impact on is weight loss. You know, I think you know, it's just something that you're going to have to think about over a 2-day tournament. I think they're talking about like a 2-kilo allowance the next day. But even, you know, even for kids to weigh in at, you know, 3 or 5 o'clock one day and then get to compete the next day is a big difference than if you're going to weigh in at, you know, 7:30 and then wrestling's going to start at 9:30. that's going to have a big influence on it. Knowing that the next day you have to be within 2 kilos, right? So, I think you'll see some people adjusting weight classes.
And do you think the 2 kilo number is something that's typical? Because a lot of the non Grand Prix and the non Continentals, they all kind of compete with the 2 kilo allowance anyway.
Yeah, I thought, frankly, they probably just had to come up with a number that they thought was, healthy for one thing, so that the next day they can be 2 kilos more. It'll be interesting to see how it, it sounds like they're going to go ahead with this, and it'll be interesting to see how it weighs out. I know, people like say making weight in the morning and then competing a couple hours after, just nutrition wise is a different story than weighing in the night before. And then again, knowing that you're going to weigh in the next day and, just have the 2 kilogram allowance, I think it'll, make you think about which weight class you're going to go to.
Dennis, your thoughts on going back to this situation, this multi-day format?
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I have no problem with it. The weigh-ins, was stated earlier, I think with the 2-day weigh-in, you're going to have to really pick the best weight class for you without depleting your system. And, in 1992, we had to make weight 3 days in a row, but you weighed in the day before. Then after competition the first day, you had 90 minutes and it was scratch weight. You had to get back down to scratch. And that was rough. I mean, but you competed, at your weight. Typical example is first day, right after I made weight, I got up to 11 over and I had a bottle of water in my hand when I stepped on a scale that night before my first day of competition. I set the bottle of water down and went to bed. And then next morning, got up, wrestled a couple matches, had to make weight 90 minutes after my last match, so you won't be doing that, which is kind of nice. Guys are going to have to pick a weight that they can wrestle at and feel comfortable at, which is good.
Another thing I want to speak on is Paris is a host, and then a couple people may have noticed at the NCAA Fan Fest this year in St. Louis that Paris Lute 2017, they had a table at Fan Fest. They were encouraging people to come to Paris for the World Championships in August. Dennis, your thoughts about Paris as a host city?
I think it's great. A lot of stuff to do, a lot of things to see. We trained there at their Olympic Training Center in 1995. I loved it. A lot of things to do, and it's a good city. So I think it should be a great championships this year.
Coach Cox, your thoughts about Paris as a host?
Well, it's a beautiful country, beautiful city, and they'll do a great job of hosting it. I think the other thing is too, it's just everything. All those countries are just so close. If people want to be there, a few weeks earlier to train, they can be in a neighboring country and training there. And it's, time change, it's like an hour max to get to it. So I think they'll do a great job on it.
Yeah. And from a overall standpoint, we're looking at, I don't think we're going to go to places like Tashkent anymore, but the Junior Worlds will be in Tampere, Finland, the Cadet Worlds in Athens. So we've got destination cities, and in case you're wondering about Finland, yeah, it's the third biggest city in that country, and it's a pretty good sports town from what I understand. I look forward to going to it, but we've got some destinations. We're going back to Budapest for Worlds later on, and I think we'll stick with you, Coach Cox, on just a destination standpoint. The getting to places like this have got to be easier for you guys, just like it's easier for us down here in the States.
Oh yeah. And you it sounds bad, but you kind of know what you're going to get when you get there, right? There's not so many surprises, and just visas, everything, getting into these countries is just a lot easier. So for us, it's Wrestling Canada, basically, taking care of the trips is much easier. Like I say, there's lots of nicer neighboring countries where you can be training and then just, hop on a short flight or a train to get there. I think it's also, foods aren't necessarily different in that aspect of it. No, it's definitely nicer.
All right, you've also spent time coaching at the Olympic Games and in various capacities within Wrestling Canada, and of course your school at Guelph. What has been the most unique situation for you as a coach in your Olympic experiences?
Oh, I don't know if it's unique. I think one year we went down, we had the Pan Am Championships. They were in Cali, Colombia, and it was just, it was quite an event getting there and getting home, and then it was quite an event while we were there. And I can remember coming back home on the plane, said, I will never go back to that place to wrestle. And then
that
it just so happened, correct? Yeah, it just so happened that I forget what event I was, the next year I was on a plane landing in the same airport, and I was coaching then, and it's like, how did I get back here? So,
yeah, that was an interesting place.
Yes, it was. I've seen more machine guns there than I've seen on TV, I think.
Came here, and I didn't leave my hotel for a week straight.
No, I think the hotel that we stayed at, they had, like, literally the hotel was just robbed the week prior. They just walked through the hotel. Nobody was injured, but they just walked through and took everything. And
yep.
Then, so that wasn't too good on the nerve system. So it's one of the reasons I said I'd never go back. And then I got asked to coach back there the next year. And yeah, I was asking as we all do coaching, I'm sure we have one or two situations a year ago. What am I doing here? How did I get here?
The only thing I know about Cali is I was a fan of the Netflix show Narcos, so probably not the best understanding of what a city is based on a series about Pablo Escobar. But we'll just leave that alone. I'm not trying to offend any Colombians who listen to the show, but yeah, I'm curious about that because I know Dennis has got stories from all around the world. But Coach Cox, I'd like to thank you for your time and coming on the program, and just want to give us a little bit of backstory on things that people, if they're interested in finding out about the Guelph program, if they're traveling in Ontario, they want to check out some wrestling. How do they get a hold of you, and how do they find out more about your program?
Well, our club and myself, I'm out of the University of Guelph in Guelph, Ontario. So if they actually just pull up the University of Guelph, they can, my email will be there. They can contact us through that. A lot of the Americans would know Guelph. We host the Canada Cup every year. We're hosting it again this year, July 8th. And usually there's quite a few Americans. We usually have the Cubans men team, and we have had the men's and women's team up for it, which is always, it's always exciting to get the Cubans, and we'll have them again back again this year. And then we host the Guelph Open in January, usually about the third Saturday in January, and it's always, you know, really good competition. We always have everybody from across Canada comes to that, all the clubs, and then quite a few Americans as well.
And how awesome is Corey Jarvis's beard right now?
Well, I think Corey thinks it's a lot more awesome than I do. Okay.
All right, Coach Cox, you for your time. Dennis Hall, final thoughts about moving in to our international season now as the World Team Trials are set for Vegas at the end of April, along with the women and the Freestyle Open. Thoughts on where you're sitting with Greco and where we're sitting with Greco as a nation?
Yeah, I think we're fine with Greco. It'll be interesting to see how many D1 athletes show up at the trials. With the free entry as an NCAA qualifier, hopefully we can draw some of those guys, and maybe some of them will figure out if they want to pursue an international career. So hopefully guys are ready come end of the month, and we have a good world team and get guys ready to win some medals at the Worlds in August.
And Coach McGovern, final thoughts as we move into another season, another off season of wrestling here with the World Wrestling Resource.
Thanks Doug and Dennis for being on the call, and just for all the young guys that are thinking about like training Greco or freestyle after college. I mean, these experiences are probably as valuable as a paycheck for any job. And so I know sometimes you got to sacrifice financially, and a lot of us have done that. I was doing it in my career. And I think these guys show that those experiences can take you places you maybe never thought you were going to go. So go ahead and follow that path that's in your heart.
Follow that path and end up in Cali, Colombia. Thanks to Coach McGovern, Dennis Hall, and Doug Cox. This has been episode 41 of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.